Mafia Podcast.
Welcome to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, everyone. From the new listener that's just tuning in to our show, to the seasoned veteran who listens on a weekly basis that we call Goombas. Welcome to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, if I didn't say that already. Again, I am the Reverend Godfather, the main host and frontman of the show. I just wanted to announce a few things before we get into the hostful that we recorded this past Saturday. First thing first is that you're going to notice a slight audio difference. Is that because we had to use Skype to get Big Candy, in essence, in studio. He did want to make it in, but there was a family emergency on his end that he couldn't make it in, but he was able to Skype. Thank him for being able to do that. Not to mention, again, Zombie Bunny couldn't make it in either herself due to a family emergency. We wish her and her family best. I know a lot of you like her. I don't know how much, but I know you like listening to her laugh and all that. And everything else. But we did have a special guest come in studio. I'm not going to introduce him here because he's a surprise guest. I didn't know he was going to be in studio until the last minute, so I'm going to save that surprise. Later in the episode, you're going to kind of hear a little bit of an audio click. That's because where we recorded, there's only a 2-hour time limit on the internet access, and we went over time in a way, but we still managed to record the last little bit of the show, so that's why you hear that. Just want to explain it and apologize if you want something consistent. I've been trying to keep something consistent for you guys since day one. We've grown and improved, and as always, we love hearing feedback. So if you want to give feedback, again, our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. So here's the show, folks.
We're going to have... Oh, there he is, just in time. We get everything fixed just in time. Look at that. For the folks at home, We're going to have a special guest in studio right now. Just walked in through the door. We're welcoming Matt Burns in studio.
Matt Burns in the motherfucking house.
I feel like I need to start hosting this thing as much as I've been on it lately.
You've been on it only three times.
Well, twice in the past 2 weeks, though.
Yeah.
Well, not really. When were we
in the library.
That's the library. Well, you got a point. Sitting in studio. what was that? Was that your boy, Chris?
It is. He's like a tree right now.
So we have not only in studio as a guest host today, Matt Burns, who is, as our listeners might know, the promoter of the 4-State Retro Pop Culture and Comic-Con, which he's doing the winter show, which is called what?
Winter Pop and Comic Wonderland at the same joint again, Cosmic Skate and Play in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania.
I might as well have you promote that as much as you can this show, because it is your event, and you're the happy promoter for it. I do thank you for sitting in today and everything else. We do have somewhat of a lot to go over, and Matt Burns is more than happy to pipe in his 2 cents whenever needs be.
Absolutely.
What we have today is going to be kind of our fall TV preview today. Not to mention we have a couple other stuff to go through. Since Big Candy, well, I wouldn't say in studio. There's anything you want to let us know for? You know, you've kind of been out of studio or
A lot of stuff's been going on. It seems like every weekend there's an issue, but I don't know. Been busy eBaying, picking up a lot of cool stuff, a lot of horror movie soundtracks and things like that. And a big shout out to Pizza Party Printing. I've seen a lot of their stuff recently, and I just reached out to them, and I got a shirt back for the movie Brain Damage. I'll upload a picture of the shirt. It's pretty cool. It's got Elmer from the, if anybody remembers that movie, it's got the little little brainstem looking guy named Elmer. It looks like he's about to eat a brain. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I met those guys at Scares and Cares about a month or so ago. They're good people. They had a shirt that I wanted, but they didn't have my size. I for the life of me, I cannot remember which movie it was from. But yeah, they definitely have a lot of cool horror movie, like obscure 80s horror flick t-shirts.
Well, let's put it this way. They're the only people I know that had something in a 4X of a cool movie that I like. So big ups to them. And they sent 3 free stickers, and they screen printed the box that it came in, like a pizza box.
Big Candy, you should let everybody know that you're a 5X medium just to screw up their minds.
Schmedium.
I do that to a lot of people, and they're like, huh? What?
Well, while we're on the subject of horror, I mean, have you guys heard about the new Lost Boys? They just announced that there's going to be a Lost Boys TV show on the CW. What's everybody think about that?
That's going to be, in essence, part of our topics later on in reference to movies becoming TV.
Oh, okay. So, cool. All right, well, I didn't mean to jump the gun
there. No. It just reminded me part of what's going on in reference to a lot of since we have, in essence, 2 people part of this, but to go down our show notes and everything else, I must say, because it's been part of the show for the past, I don't know, 3 months now, it's the whole library update.
Library update. Some section.
Library news. You hear it first.
But before we go into that, I must say, lately I've been part of at least 2 communities on 2 groups on Facebook right now, and that's I'm going to give them a shout out because they've been helping the show along a lot recently, giving me tips and everything else. The first group is Podcast Discovery Center, and the other one's Podcast Community. For those who are listening who are thinking about starting a podcast, these are the 2 groups I recommend because they're very friendly, very engaging, and they'll give you – there are a lot – these are people that are real – some of them are audio buffs, and they've been doing podcasting for not just a year, but we're talking like 5 or 6 years. So these are the types of groups that you want to vent your issues and I've been a part of. They've been helping out. They've been critiquing my shows. I've been critiquing their show. So I just wanted to give these guys a shout out. You know, they've been helping a lot. And so now back to as everybody knows, I have podcast ADD, which just means another topic. back to library update. As for those of you who live out of the area, we've been as of June, we've been pushed out of our normal spot at the library. But due to the director that was in office because she was, I'm not going to use the words here of what I think she was. For those of you who want to get on the keyboard and say that I'm a male chauvinist pig and all that freaking shit, I must say the previous director prior to her was also a female, and she let us record in the small conference room, and she was a very big sport, and she agreed with a lot of views that I had. As a matter of fact, she did have a lot of views that I had, some of which were like that the library should be for everybody and everything else. So I tell a lot of people that. What was that?
A public library. That's kind of what it's called. Not private library.
Right. Basically, what she put a letter to the editor in the local paper, the journal. She said, a good library should be based on and deliver at least 3 basic services to its citizens. Information, balanced, current, and as comprehensive as space and budget allows. Access to that information, print, e-materials, programs in all formats, and as free as possible. And non-judgmental attitudes towards that information and the citizens who use the library. But then again, she goes in reference to what the library should stand for, including, you know, what it is. It was a very thought out article, and to let her be a part of, you know, let us in and do what we did for at least a better part of 6 months that we started, which is great. But for the rest of you, Matt just stepped out of the studio to grab something to drink, so he'll be right back. But what happened on August 1st, there was a public meeting, which I was allowed to be a part of because it was on my day off. Turns out she, the current director, or say the former current director, was fired in a 3-2 vote. So I don't want to, as much as it seems wrong to say ding dong, the bitch is gone, but ding dong, the bitch is gone. because I'm not saying right now, as I'm in agreement with a lot of people, I don't know what Big Candy thinks of it, but I'm even though the interim director, I have no qualms with him. I don't have any qualms with the person who let me know that we couldn't use the conference room. I don't have any beef with them. They were just delivering a message, and the interim director is just that, an interim director. I'm taking a wait and see for right now before I bug them about getting our spot back, because right now we're in a period of healing, as a lot of people have said. So I can't really say, hey, well, I want my spot back, want my spot back, want my spot back. So what are your thoughts about that in reference to the bitch being gone?
Well, that's probably the best thing for the area that has happened thus far, and I'm glad that the council actually did the right thing for once and kicked her ass to the curb, because she was doing nothing but hurting a lot of people. And I mean, I hear from you and from a couple other people, there were people in the organization that did agree with some of the things she was doing, but even that, I heard they didn't agree with the way she was doing them, you know, the way she was presenting herself. Yeah. So
go ahead.
I think overall she was a bad choice given her history that, you know, apparently she wasn't truthful about, even including having a name change at some point. And not, you know, not being truthful about that, right up into the fact that she was actually fired from her last job for something similar.
And the thing is, she was fired from like two other jobs prior to this for almost the exact same thing. And
right.
The thing is, I went in just, you know, because everybody was talking about the books, talking about the dismissals. I'm not saying what, you know, reference that is wrong. Yeah, what she did was wrong, and the circumstances behind it was wrong. But
right.
No one was talking about the conference room. No one was really talking about...
Well, yeah, that was our area.
Yeah, right. So someone had to speak up for us. And it falling on my day off and on Monday allowed me to go in there and at least be professional and to talk about it. That's the whole point, you know. And as a lot of people saw on my personal Facebook page, I was like, wait a minute. I do podcasting part-time. I've interviewed quasi-celebrities. I've done panels with more than 40 people in the room. And I'm at this stupid meeting shaking like a freaking leaf, nervous as hell. I'm like, what the hell? What the hell? I could walk into an interview and just knock it out of the park, but I'm shaking it like a leaf in this? What the hell? But I went in just basically saying, listen, you know, what she did is wrong in reference to this is wrong, because limiting an area just to nonprofits, not saying that's not wrong, but what about the people like myself that cannot, not just like myself, but the ones that cannot, for whatever reason, cannot qualify for nonprofit.
Right.
And what about the kid, my friend of the show? Go ahead.
A lot of places that would be considered private property that do have meeting rooms, a lot of them do ask that you're a nonprofit organization, or at least have something to do with the area that you're in. Be it like, you know, like I was looking into a possible space for us here in Winchester every once in a while at the hospital, because they have countless meeting spaces in the hospital. Unfortunately, the hospital's the same way. It has to be health related, and you have to be a nonprofit status. Therefore, I can't get a spot there. but then there's places like where you're currently at is the Daily Grind, which is just a public meeting place.
Right, which is, for right now serves us very well. And the fact that matter is, one of the things I said is like, what? Even though my buddy Lloyd, who's been on the show before, he said, well, you could use the fact of the meeting room, the conference room, could be used for tutoring, and I use the aspect of D&D and everything else.
Right.
They kind of thought about it. They handed over. I said, listen, granted, I told them to count. This is not what I written down, but what I did tell them was like, listen, I understand that there might be other groups in the area that are bad apples, but we treated that room like it was gold. If anything, we would have dusted that room clean and polished it, you know.
Even if it came down to, like, with the Parks and Recreation Department here in Winchester, they have several rooms in their facilities. They just charge, like, a small fee, $6 or something like that, to rent theirs out. I mean, even if it was as much as charging a small fee to do the show once a month or twice a month, that wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, that would be fine. It's not like me going to the mall, yeah, right? We would charge us, like, $100 for an hour. No.
Yeah, not like $6 or $7 or something, you know, something, and it would go towards, like, you know, a library fund or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
or even just towards the power bill. I mean,
I don't mind. Again, I'm plugging the Daily Grind to Holy Hell, which I don't mind because it's like, yeah, you could have internet for a little while and as much as a cup of coffee, you could have the meeting room.
I'm actually talking to them right now about getting the con on their little TV out here that they have the ads on and whatnot. So hopefully we can work that out. That looks really cool.
So like I said, I don't mind. But
he's a promotion machine.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I've been a promotion machine on a lot of failed events. So,
at least you're getting it out there.
Yeah, that's what we like about you, Matt. You're getting it out there, and
it's just really sad that this area doesn't have a big enough area to have a really cool horror convention. But maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Mm-hmm. One day.
In recent news, because I try to be current with everything, even though we try to do it everything once a month. For those who don't know, who are not hearing the familiar laughter and voice of Zombie Bunny, she couldn't, due to a family emergency, she couldn't be here today. Hopefully when she comes back next month, she'll have a Ghostbusters review because she couldn't see it fully in her job. So she told me last month that she will be seeing it fully to get a better opinion about it. So that's why you don't hear her laughing in studio today and playing with her seat and her usual antics and laughter. So, but in current news, we had a passing recently, and that was Kenny Baker. I want to touch on this a little bit. Even though I try to avoid passings, for those who don't know, Kenny Baker was who actually played R2-D2. He was the 3'8" that was inside R2-D2 and kind of moved it around a little bit and wiggled it and everything else. Plus, he was in a whole mess of other movies. He passed away at 81 years old. I met him several times. The most memorable moment that I met him at was in 2003 at Wizard World. I went with a friend of mine, for those who don't know, Mad-Eye Markey, and with, let's call him Batman. That's close enough to his name that he'll recognize himself. The thing is, we went to the show. He was there signing autographs, the whatnot, and we just came from his area, which they had a Star Wars area. We were approaching the exits of the show, so we could organize ourselves and so forth. And there's got one of the con handlers. Matt knows these type of folks. They're volunteers. They're just floor guys, you know. Just
they help the con go round.
Yeah, they. And he comes running.
You can't be everywhere at once, unfortunately.
He comes running up to us, and he goes, gentlemen, Mr. Baker wants to see you guys. And us being the good friends that we were, like, oh, fuck. All right. I think I was the one that went, all right, which one of you numbskulls did something wrong? And again, it was like the usual round of good friends, you know, like, I didn't do anything. What do? You're the weirdo in this group. No, you know, back and forth. When we finally got back, it turns out he wanted a photo with three of us, and which is, again, this was before the days of MySpace, Facebook and all that, and digital photographs. So we never really got a chance to see that photo that he took of us. But it was just funny that to have him call back because we were just interesting fellows. So it was just a memorable moment of a nice guy, a wonderful actor, who helped bring joy to a lot of people.
He wiggled R2-D2.
One of the topics I'm going to skip over because she was a big fan and she's not here today is the fact that I guess I could touch on it a little bit is the aspect of games being remastered. I was going to bring up the aspect of BioShock being remastered and coming out next month. I could get her opinion when she comes on studio again, but what are you guys' thoughts on about games being remastered?
Aren't they doing a GoldenEye remaster as well?
I think that was online.
Something. I was going to say that's. I mean, hey, you know, if it gets the game out there again and gets people enjoying it, I'm all for it. I'm not nearly as purist as a lot of these people are. Like, oh, you need to leave it on the Nintendo 64. Yeah, of course they were great when they came out for those formats, but I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I mean,
I look at it like this with games recently it was Dead Island and now it's GoldenEye and we have BioShock coming out next month. I look at it as like this from a podcast standpoint. I get to review these games again and they become relevant again. So I could get to review these suckers, you know, for my show. So what's the harm in that? I got show. Hello.
No, I'm still here. I got a phone call while I was on here.
So, what are your thoughts about games being remastered?
Like with GoldenEye, yeah, I guess. But I mean, is it remade or remastered? That's what the only question I have.
Mostly
but,
like, remastered.
Just take the basic game that they had before and go over it and tighten it up and make it look more modern. Or are they? Is it like a reimagining?
I think it's just like with the BioShock, it's just tightening it up a little bit, spoofing up the graphics a tad, and that's about it.
Right.
For GoldenEye,
they awesome, but for BioShock, too soon. I mean, it's still kind of a.
They're remastering 1 and 2, but they're leaving Infinite as it is because. It's kind of already been done for the current gen.
It will come out 2005 or 2006 or something
like
that. Like
I said, my thoughts is that I get to review these games all over again, and they become show content. So I'm not really worried about it. So
if you like playing games over and over again, I'm a one and done kind of guy. I don't really like to play things over and over.
I'm the same way, bud. The only game I ever really played over and over again was Final Fantasy III for Super Nintendo. I really love that game for some reason. But yeah, I'm like you. Once I beat something, I'm done with it usually.
I'll fiddle with it. Yeah. It's a game like Halo, you know. It's just
those are different. I mean, if it's more like a universe type thing, it's a little bit different type.
Right. If it's grand, is it like Grand Theft Auto? I just run around and kill shit forever. So that's
exactly. I mean, if you smoke them if you got them, exactly.
And one of the other things is that a lot of people have been speculating that because the Nintendo, let's call it the Nintendo Mini, that's coming out later this year, which is pretty much like it's actually for those who didn't listen to our last Hostful, what it is, it's a small little console put out by actually Nintendo.
They've done it for Intellivision. They've done it for Coleco, and they've done it for Sega Genesis.
It's actually put out by Nintendo.
It's not like a Retron
or one of these type of systems that everyone's licensed. It's actually put out by Nintendo. And what word came around is that Sega is putting out their own mini console. But the thing is, it's not. It's licensed. It's a licensed deal. And a lot of people saying, oh, no, it's a licensed deal. It's coming, even though it's coming with 80 games, it's coming with 40 original games and 40 Flash-type games, which means you're getting, like, Solitaire, Peggle, Candy Crush, all put on these games.
And that's ridiculous.
But wireless remotes.
Yeah, but wireless remotes. That's controllers,
and you can download content.
Yeah, that's about it, and it's licensed, and a lot of the people that know about these systems saying, listen, what the problem tends to be is because it's licensed, you don't have the quality, the music doesn't sound right, it might be a little bit off, you're not really getting quality. You're getting the memories, but you're not really getting the quality that Nintendo's actually putting into this.
But the the price point's so good, can you actually say no to it? $60.
No, for 30 games, it's like $2. Yeah. $2 yeah. a game.
And apparently, like, Altered Beast is going to be on there, so it's like, okay.
So Altered Beast was a Sega game, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, for the new Genesis.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, in that case, absolutely. Yeah. Genesis. Like I said, I know the one company already put out a system similar to that for the Sega Genesis. I know because my dad has one, and I mean, I always loved the Genesis. Quite frankly, it was an amazing system. You had Mutant League Football, Mutant League Hockey. You had what were some of the other great games? DJ First Boy. Yeah. Golden Axe.
They also went into they were the dark system. Like, if you remember,
they really were. I mean, you had those great Phantasy Star games, which were the kings of role playing. I mean, before Final Fantasy,
I think Phantasy Star is going to be on the Sega version.
Oh, so I hope so.
I guess it depends.
I'd play that again. I'd beat that again.
If depending on if you were a Nintendo fanboy, grown up, or a Sega fanboy, if the games are cheap enough, pick it up. If you're a fan of both, pick up both.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, like I said, the price point is so cheap that why not? But I'd see where they open up the library to where there is downloadable content where you could actually download some of the lesser known titles, like like the really creeped out games like Fatal Rewind and just all those really weird I can't remember some of them.
Booger Some Man, the... Toe Jam and Earl.
Toe Jam and Earl. I love that game.
I'm surprised that won the stock, were like a stock game on there, with the 40, but
yeah. I always remember the game DJ Boy. That was always one of my favorites when I was a kid. It was kind of a more obscure game. And I remember right here in Martinsburg, we used to have a store. Chris, you might remember this if you've lived in Martinsburg for a long time. You had Crowell's Grocery Store down here on Queen Street. Still there. It's like a mini mart or whatever. Yeah, it's still there at Crowell's Grocery Store. And they used to get in these Japanese versions of Sega Genesis games, like back in the late 80s, early 90s. And they would have them 2 months before they came out here in America. But the problem was you couldn't read the direction book. It was all in Japanese. So, like, you could only really get to a certain part of the game. But they had the Japanese version of DJ Boy. It was different. You want to talk about, like, I shouldn't even probably be talking about this on this PC generation or whatever, but the first boss looked like Aunt Jemima, and her power was, you're fighting her or whatever, and the power is she farted on you. It was wonderful. I mean, it was wholesome family fun. Like I said, they'd never be able to allow that now. It was wild. Like, but it's right down here, Crowell's. It's still there. The grocery store is still there. Crowell's Grocery Store used to have all these Japanese Sega Genesis games. I don't know where they used to get them from, but they got them from somewhere. They used to rent them like video stores used to do. We used to rent videos.
Yeah, I worked at a place called Hitlist Video. The theme to Hitlist Video.
I remember that.
Okay. Where the theme was like it was like a mafia thing.
Yes, I remember that absolutely.
They had the best movies in there for rent. Like, you talk about like all the like brain damage and all the ones like that.
Oh yeah, like, I was gonna say just all that crazy like redneck zombies, like all that crazy
blood sucking freaks, like everything.
Freaks. I have that on DVD. Absolutely.
All of it. Yeah, they had all that, but also. That was the only place I knew that you could rent a Sega CD stuff and the Sega CD games. And I mean, oh my gosh, I would rent that for like a week at a time.
Yeah, that. And they also had, what was the other Sega, the obscure one? Was it the 32X? That was the other one.
Yeah.
To kind of move things along, I wanted to try this now that we got two people in essence kind of in studio. It kind of worked out with the Zombie Bunny. I think she enjoyed it a lot. It's basically one versus the other. It's not really a death match. In the way it is, fights were taken from an old, again, for those who are new to the show, they are taken from grudgematch.com. Basically, these are fights done in the late 90s, early 2000s. Basically, two guys on the net, college guys, wanted to see who would win in the battle, and they left it up to people. They created a little scenario, and they left it up for the public to vote and to get you guys to see who would win in such a battle. You guys let me know, and I'll tell you who the public pretty much voted on. How's that sound?
Let's do it.
What's the battle?
There's going to be several battles. I'll give you the guys the setup, who it's going to be in the setup. And I'll read it to you, the little setup and who it's going to be. And you tell me who you guys would think would win the battle. And I'll let you know who the public voted on. First up, Tarzan versus Aquaman. The setup is this. A strong, salty breeze whisks over the pre-dawn sandy beaches on the southern east of Madagascar. Two dark figures walk towards each other, both approaching a third figure. As the sun breaks over the cloudless horizon, the early morning light reveals Tarzan, draped in leopard skin, and Aquaman in his trademark figure-hugging orange and green tights. In between stands John James Audubon, the referee whose decisions are ultimate and final. Both men must grapple hand-to-hand to the death in the surf, between 2 and 4 feet of water at all times, unless thrown or dragged out of the zone, in which case they must attempt to return to the zone as quickly as possible, as judged by Mr. Audubon. Both men retain their animal communication skills. Who survives and how many animals are slaughtered in this coastal melee?
That's easy. Aquaman wins. Monkeys are not strong swimmers. If he grew up in an ape habitat, basically he learned everything he learned to do swinging tree to tree, but he never learned to swim. So Aquaman drowns him and stabs him in the head with his spear.
That's kind of what I was thinking too, Chris. I was like, that's kind of lopsided because, you know, Aquaman. I mean, that's kind of what I thought too. Even though I hate Aquaman, I think he's the worst superhero of all time, and you can go on record of me saying that. But yeah, but he would beat Tarzan, especially if it's in the water.
Well, according to the votes at the time, Tarzan beat Aquaman. Tarzan received 274 votes, and Aquaman received 250 votes.
It's because nobody likes Aquaman.
Right.
That's the only reason everybody hates Aquaman. And I mean, did you guys see that he's actually getting his own standalone movie?
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna be interesting.
Okay, next up, it's going to be Worf versus Chewbacca. The setup is this. Captain's log, stardate 2324.7. After traveling through an unknown energy field, trademark, we have found ourselves in a strange new locale. According to our computers, we have been transported over 1 billion light years across the universe. The ship chronometers also indicate we have traveled back in time approximately 10 million years. The general consensus among the crew is that the Enterprise is in a place long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Captain's log, stardate 2325.2. We have encountered a great deal of trouble after beaming down to the desert class M world known to the inhabitants as Tatooine. We are graciously invited to the home of a jovial fellow named Jabba. Upon our arrival, we are ambushed by Jabba's agents and imprisoned in his dungeons. I fear he plans to use us for entertainment this evening. He has selected the strongest of us, Worf, to fight an unarmed combat against a fearful opponent. We have not seen the opponent, but known only his name, Chewbacca. In this situation, it seems Chewbacca wins. The life of his friend Han Solo is spared. If Worf must win, if we are to regain our freedom, Chewbacca must win if he is to save the life of his friend. We can only wait for the outcome. What do you guys think?
I got Chewbacca, especially if he's fighting for Han Solo.
Yeah, especially if he's fighting for Han Solo. But first of all, I want to start off by saying that this is blasphemy right from the get-go.
Well, I agree with that statement, too. But
do not mar the Star Wars universe with Star Trek filth. Secondly, Worf is a warrior, but Klingons rely heavily on weaponry, which I'm guessing...
He has no weaponry, so you...
Yeah, so he doesn't have that weird blade thing that he fights with. So pretty much guessing the stronger, taller, and, more agile Chewbacca would rip his arms off and beat him to death with them on the floor.
I must say, even though I know the outcome, everybody must realize that Worf was taken out by a box.
Yeah, right.
But you guys are both right. Chewbacca wins this fight. The votes were... Chewbacca got 946 votes, and Worf received 578.
Too many.
Yeah, I was gonna say they had too many damn Trekkies on that site.
Yeah.
Here's a fun little one that I reference a lot. It is John McCain versus the Death Star. The backstory is this: the admiral has hastily directed his men to apprehend the vigilante wreaking havoc upon his brand new battle station. We must capture this renegade before he causes any more trouble on the Death Star. Our first target, Earth, will be arranged in 24 hours. He must be stopped by then. If we fail, the Emperor will come here and punish us personally. Behind them, they hear the blast doors open. The Admiral and his legion of stormtroopers turn to see a horrifying sight. There sits Darth Vader, slumped over, dead in a chair. He is wearing a Santa hat, and something is written in blood on Darth Vader's black cape. As they unfurl it, the Admiral reads the message. Ho, ho, ho. Now I have a lightsaber. So, Darth Vader out of the picture and the Emperor are far, far away, thus no force to speak of. Can John McClane stop the Death Star before it reaches Earth? Before I ask your guys' opinion, I must say this. Someone posted up on the message boards this little statement. This is essentially a chemistry problem. The Death Star tends to explode. John McClane tends to cause things to explode. Sort of like Drew Barrymore versus the Hindenburg, when you take a look at it. So what are you guys' thoughts?
Well, first of all, I thought you said John McCain, not John McClane.
So did I, actually.
I was like... Well, that man spent 9 years in a tiger cage, and he just sick, you know, Nancy Pelosi on him. So, no, yeah, John McClane. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's the quintessential action hero, tough guy. But I'm gonna go.
I don't think he can take down the whole Death Star. I'm going with Death Star.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a little much.
Well, the votes, when they came in and were finalized, John McClane got 809 votes, and the Death Star got 509.
Yeah, and that's just people going, oh, John McClane's cool. So, no, not realistic.
So we can move on a little bit. I'm going to save the last two death battles
John McCain.
I'd take John McCain over there.
Yeah, right?
Only if he has Bob Dole with him, though.
Speaking of which, if you guys...
Bob Dole says take down Death Star.
What do you listeners think about this? Or what do you think about John McCain and Bob Dole. versus the Death Star? Email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Let us know what you guys think.
Bob Dole says vote for him. A lot of the younger people probably aren't going to get that. But it's like
yeah.
Although they did reference that on Family Guy, I think, once.
Thanks to Uncle Tony, I did manage to get the new Harry Potter book that just came out. I've been reading that. I must say, it reads like a script, and for right now, it's not written by J.K. Rowling. It's in script format, so a lot of people who are diehard Harry Potter fans are just drooling over this book like a steak dinner with mashed potatoes. You know, it's it deals with basically time travel throughout the whole thing. So it's not the best thing I've ever read. It's not the worst either. I'm going to skip out the other reviews.
I know I was going to say real quick on the Harry Potter topic, you guys know that they're making that spinoff movie in November as well.
Yeah, it's the one that's coming out. Beast. The Beast movie. There's Extraordinary Beast. Yeah.
Come meet Jim Tavor at the Winter Pop and Comic Wonderland.
It's okay. I can't blame you for that.
Yeah.
Because this is in essence the fall TV, I'm going to skip over the two movie reviews. I'll probably save them for next month because of all the hate and everything else, and something that's the Killing Joke review and the Suicide Squad review. And the hate that's been around. So I could dive into what I didn't hate these two movies. They were pretty well done, but there's a lot of heat that's been surrounding this. I want to cover that for the next hostful. But I'll do, because we're talking about TV, I do want to speak about the Stranger Things season that was on, on Netflix. This is very good. I mean, it was very done. When I saw, again, this was after I watched the season, they had the cast photo of the kids. And when I looked at it, I'm like, this isn't a cast photo of Stranger, even if I didn't know better, this is not a cast photo of Stranger Things. This is a cast photo for a Goonies movie.
It really is. Whoever did that show would just had their mind so far, you know, in the retro times, but in a good way.
Yeah. When I saw it, it's like, if someone said to me, this is not a Stranger Things cast photo, this is for a Goonies reboot or a sequel or a redo, whatever.
Or Gremlins or any of those kind of movies.
I'd be like, I want to see a trailer. I don't want to geek rage. I want to see a trailer because this seems to fit. But due to clues that are in the movie, if you do your research, not the movie, the show, it takes place in 1983. The biggest late 83, early 84. That's the best thing I could say, because one of the movies that they talk about is a Tom Cruise movie. And when you look that movie up, it comes up as like October.
Oh yeah, it was a new release that
Yeah,
time.
Yeah.
And how weird was it watching a series where people weren't on their cell phones constantly?
Right, right.
Yeah, I know. Nobody was texting. Nobody was Instagramming or Snapchatting or anything.
It was very well done.
It's hard to believe that it wasn't that long ago either, you know, that we weren't on cell phones all the time. It was only 15 years ago, none of us had cell phones. I mean, it's really a strange occurrence. When you think about that time, it's like, damn, I mean, you went all these places and did all these things and you were never on your phone. But now you're always on your phone.
If you look at a lot of things, it's central to the plot on even newer movies. There's cell phones. People are on cell phones. It's how you communicate. It's common.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's you're watching, you know, these new reboots of movies where people are texting, and it's like, wow, it's kind of crazy.
Personally, I'm giving this a very strong 7.5 out of 10.
I give it about an 8.
Well, the reason I get 9, not an absolute 10, was because I wasn't a fan of the ending. The ending was a little. I thought they could have done better.
Well, they are going to be making more scenes, I think, now.
Absolutely.
You got to leave it a little bit open ended, I guess. A lot of people. I mean, I don't mean to touch on this because I know you all are going to do this on the next show, but I mean, a lot of people felt. I mean, I kind of even felt like the Suicide Squad ending was rushed a little bit. I mean, but that's only because that they're going
to
make a scene.
To me, the Suicide Squad was a good movie, but if you take what I thought about it is that if you take Batman out of his cameos out of it, you have a and you didn't know it was a DC movie. It played like a sci-fi.
I was gonna say it would almost be like a Kick-Ass or something like that.
Yeah, it was like a sci-fi action movie.
Yeah, because it looks almost like Kick-Ass or one of those kind of movies.
But speaking of TV shows, I get to see a lot of TV shows that are put out on Netflix after the fact that they come on DVD, which is kind of a good thing. The other one I want to talk about is that I power watched Dusk to Dawn. This will lead into the topic next is Dusk to Dawn season 2, which is on what's his name's own channel, which is
El Rey. That's a great station. I love that TV station.
This is a great series. And I'm going to be using it to talk about in reference to movies becoming TV shows. I don't think I've seen a lot of TV shows make it past the first season that come. A lot of shows like Star Trek and Transformers, so to speak, have made it fine from the TV aspect to the movie aspect. But not so much vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, they've even made like Freddy and Jason, you know, horror TV shows back in the late 80s. Yeah. I don't even think they lasted past like one season.
Well, the Friday the 13th never really was based on the movie.
Yeah, it was called something else.
That lasted like two or three seasons, but it didn't. Same thing with War of the Worlds. That lasted two seasons, but after the first season, they revamped it, and it still didn't work.
Yeah.
But Minority Report lasted only one season. Same with Uncle Buck. Limitless lasted one season. Heck, even though it was a good show, Alienation back in the early to late 90s lasted one season.
Like you said, Freddy's Nightmares. That was only one season.
Yeah. But with Dusk to Dawn, it's the one that's it's currently starting its third season. I think what one of the things that's helping it is the creators behind this. He's taken it. He knows what to do, how to do it, and it's on his own network. You don't have someone like Fox trying to twist it and adjust it and
breathing down your neck, wanting it to be a certain way. Exactly.
And since he's friends with Quentin Tarantino, who wrote and pretty much directed it, it's like, all right, you got full control of this, and it's not, they're good friends. So what, you know, it's not going to be done poorly. They've actually done a good job with the series and first season actually expanding on the 2-hour movie.
Oh yeah, and another series that just got picked up for a second season that was a movie and has actually been pretty decent, in my opinion, is Scream. And it's crazy.
Is that the MTV?
The MTV spinoff.
I haven't seen it, so I can't.
It's actually not bad. I mean, I tell you what, it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I'll be honest. I was skeptical. Yeah, you know I mean, yeah. I mean, the last couple Scream movies have been mediocre at best. The first one will always be a cult classic with Wes Craven behind it and everything. Scream, you know, definitely. It was trying to bring back the campiness of those kind of movies or whatever, and I always respected it for that.
I know we are getting one of the movie to TVs. I want to see at least the first season to it, because not first season, at least the pilot episode, and that's Lethal Weapon.
I heard about that too.
Yeah. It's going to be on Fox, but the way it looks like is that they're trying to take the aspect of the Dusk to Dawn aspect, is that they're going to try to expand on the movie, and I think it has Damon Williams in it, or the one.
It's Damon Williams Jr. Jr.
So there is that aspect of I want to at least see how they make the first episode, the pilot episode, because it's. Like with Limitless and Minority Report, it's like, oh, let's take this and make it a cop drama, and it doesn't really fit. This, they can make it a cop buddy cop drama a little bit and add in a little bit of humor like the movies did, and it could actually fit. So
right. They could almost make it into like a newer version of like NYPD Blue or something.
Right, and that actually could – but then again, it's on Fox.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It's on Fox.
Where a lot of TV shows go to die, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have pretty much a lot of the lineup that's going to be on the. I'll just go on what might be the fan favorites over the networks. On ABC we have skipping Monday, Sunday. The only Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are AKA what's his name's personal trying to make his own show when it's not.
I was kind of upset that they canceled Agent Carter. I thought that was a pretty good show.
The thing I keep saying with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that it's Josh Whedon saying, this is mine. But I'm one of the fans that says, no, Josh, this is not Buffy. This is not Angel. This is not one of your own shows. This is Marvel's property. Yeah. Let them handle this.
It hasn't hooked me. In as long as it's been on and I've watched it here and there, it's never hooked me.
Like I said, Josh is treating this like a kindergartner trying to play with kindergartner.
Mine.
And he's like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is pretty much the death dream of Agent Coulson. Wait a minute, what?
Right.
You're dealing with Inhumans. You're dealing with stuff that's happening with, in essence, current Marvel Universe, and it's a death dream? Dude, you're ruining it. This is not your shit. This is Marvel shit.
Because that's an easy way to like make none of it continuity,
right?
That's an easy way that they can just like retcon the entire series.
And the thing is, the chick who plays the one in Human says she wants to see a lot of people on the show say we want to see this show tied in with the movies, and a lot of people in like Daredevil and those shows say we want to be part of the movie universe, and it's that whole aspect of timing, money, of infights between the series and the movie people. It's just that whole aspect. I mean, it's sad. It's sad.
Well, I don't see it anytime soon. It's just it's all property rights and bullshit.
It is. It's all red tape.
It's a little bit red tape, more or less in studio drama. And
like that's the guy that's doing the Luke Cage. I think that's fantastic. That looks great.
Oh yeah, because it's Netflix. Yeah. Netflix always. I mean, Netflix usually puts out good quality product with that kind of stuff. Especially, they proved that with Daredevil. Daredevil's been fantastic. Yeah.
Jessica Jones was a stellar series as well.
That's coming back as a season two.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, well, and like I just briefed on. I was like, I mean, it's sexy. I liked Agent Carter, but I mean,
It's like Netflix to pick up something like Agent Carter, or I wonder if it's red tape why they couldn't. But you know, like CW,
you might see it again. Yeah, I was gonna say,
yeah, I think that was because of ratings and a whole mess of other shit.
When are they gonna learn about ratings? It's not about what you watch when it's on. Most people don't watch it when it's on. They watch it when it's like on, like yeah, 2 days
they,
later.
They TiVo it. They TiVo it. Netflix it, et cetera, et cetera.
That's the aspect is that a lot of people. They might be our generation and that are in ABC, NBC, and the rest of this, but they still hold true to these old school values that they don't want that aspect of, people are watching it the next day or they're watching it.
Dude, the sooner they get on board with that shit, the better TV is going to be.
I never watch stuff when it's on. I always TiVo it. That way you don't have to watch the commercials.
And the thing is, I've told people that the whole aspect of the Nielsen ratings is bullshit. Even when I did have TV, network TV, because with those who don't know about Nielsen ratings, is that you have maybe we live in a country with about 100 million people,
right,
give or take, and out of that 100 million people, 1 million people might have a Nielsen box in their home,
right.
You could have something like the Super Bowl, for example, an argument's sake, where the whole country, 100 million people, could be watching the Super Bowl. If those 1 million people are not watching the Super Bowl, the network is saying, hey, no one watched the Super Bowl this year, yet 99 million people actually watched it.
Yeah, or like I said, if only half of them watched it, oh, that was a failure. They dropped off halfway. What happened? Yeah.
Yet actually more people watched it, and they're like,
they didn't watch it,
what they got in with Nielsen. And so it's like, well, we're not going to bring it back next year because of what the Nielsen said. What about the people that watched it the next day,
or next week, whenever.
Some of the other stuff that's coming on NBC is not NBC, ABC. I don't see how Last Man Standing is still coming back. It didn't catch on with me. I don't see how The Goldbergs is coming back. That lasted.
That's a terrible show.
I like the concept, but I don't see how it's making past. I don't think it's like in its third season.
Like, I think they were banking on, like, 80s nostalgia.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't come off like that. It comes off like just a regular sitcom.
With an 80s feel to it.
Not even. That's the point. Like, I don't feel like it's an 80s show. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah. I don't get that impression.
Once Upon a Time is coming back. It didn't catch on with me, but I like what they're doing with it. It's more...
That's kind of huge.
For CBS, nothing really stands out. I know there's a lot of Big Bang Theory fans out there. I know I'm going to be watching NCIS. I don't know if I'm going to. MacGyver is making the comeback. I want to see at least the preview for that, the pilot. But I don't know. I'm skeptical about MacGyver coming back.
Is that Richard Dean Anderson or is it?
It's someone new. They're revamping it. I'm sure Richard Dean Anderson is going to be making a cameo at some point, but I want to see the pilot, see how they deal with it, what they deal with it. Let's see, what's this? That's more CBS. Some of I have to check in reference to Elementary. I liked the first episode. I got a power watch it on, I think it's on Hulu. For CW.
Supergirl.
Yeah, Supergirl's coming. I had, Big Candy knows I have an abusive relationship with the CW. they keep lying to me. They keep abusing me, and I keep coming back for some ungodly reason.
Did you see that wonderful poster with the phrasing on Supergirl about how Superman was coming in? Superman is coming in Supergirl.
The lies. I'm gonna be watching too. God, the lies.
He's your cousin.
Flash is coming back. The Arrow is coming back. Supergirl's coming. I wouldn't say coming back. It got canceled. It's coming to the CW. I'm intrigued to see what the CW is going to do with it. Legends of Tomorrow is coming back. Supernatural is coming back. Here's another movie to TV. I want to see how they deal with it, and that's Frequency. Frequency was a good movie, but I don't see how it translates to a TV show.
Right.
I can see, like, I don't know. I can see, like, the conflict, but I can see it getting old, too.
Yeah. So.
No, it wasn't a bad movie.
Nothing so much on NBC.
What station's American Horror Story on? I can't remember. Because that's coming back.
Yeah, that's coming back. I don't see it. I think that's on a network.
I know it's on a network.
I don't see it, but it's coming back. I don't see it.
It is coming back. I've never seen
But everybody hates it more every year.
Yeah. What's that? What's that, Chris?
Everybody hates it more and more here. Like every year, I just hear this one worse than the last one.
Well, I liked. Let's see. I loved Coven. I loved Freak Show. I liked the first season. I didn't care for Asylum. Hotel was kind of eh. So I guess we'll see where it goes. Right.
Yeah. And the thing is, I haven't watched it, but I've been hearing this season they're going to try to tie everything together. Somehow, so
oh
I don't.
Oh, hey, that might mean that they might be jumping ship. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I kind of hope not, because like I told you, I do enjoy that show.
As per Fox, Gotham is coming back.
That's a good one.
I like it. Lucifer is coming back. I'm surprised that it's getting a season two, but for what it is,
right, yeah.
I'm surprised it's getting
Fox.
A season. Yeah, it was good, and it's kind of a comic book. It was based on a comic book, but it was done very well, and I'm surprised it's coming back. I'm happy to see it's coming back. Why Scream Queens is getting a fucking season two is beyond fucking me.
Here we go.
Scream Queens. It sucked the first time around. Why? Lethal Weapon, again, we spoke about this. I want to see how the premiere, the pilot. The Exorcist, another movie to TV show. I wouldn't mind seeing the premiere, the pilot episode, see how they work that. Last Man on Earth. I think that I got that confused with the other TV show. Last Man on Earth.
That's the one with Will Forte. Yeah. It's kind of a funny take on the end of the world. I mean,
The Simpsons is coming back. Family Guy is coming back. A lot of people.
All those shows are coming. Bob's Burgers. American Dad. I think that one's coming.
But you have, and it's not really listed here. Do I have it here? Not really. But what's coming back is again Bones, and you have a couple others coming back. It's a lot, quote unquote, last season. But I'm sure if they toss enough money at it, they'll come back. You know, but. Some of the other final seasons that are coming out on the cable aspect is like I thought MythBusters was ended already, but apparently they got one more final season left in them.
One show that I thought was pretty fantastic. It just ended, so it probably won't be back till next spring. Is Preacher? I really enjoyed.
Yeah,
that.
I really enjoyed that show. I didn't see the season, but I saw the pilot. And
I was gonna say that. Well, I'm sure it'll be on Netflix here soon or whatever. It's a fantastic show.
This is last season for Haven on Sci-Fi Channel, but the Sci-Fi Channel, they're sketchy at the most, but. With a lot of the stuff that's coming out on TV, it's kind of funny, but renewed. Let's see. Let's go down. We see
Walking Dead, of course, Walking is coming.
Of course, that's always good.
Especially with Negan, I'm really enjoying. He definitely revamped my. Yes, well, Fear the Walking Dead, yeah. I think, is also coming back.
The Colony's
unfortunately.
No, this cable is streaming here. I'm mad about is I didn't get a chance to see it because it's not on any of these like season passing. Meaning like because I don't have cable or dish, I got season pass it if need be. Is Ash versus the Evil Dead?
Oh, that show's great.
It's very good, but I haven't seen anything because it's not. I can't buy it on Vudu. I can't buy it on Xbox Live, but I want to see it. Which is, it's sad, but I want to see it. It's Ash versus the Evil Dead. It's on Stars.
Well, yeah, but I thought in the season out, like in Stars, I thought it was available for purchase. I could be wrong.
It might be on DVD now. I don't know.
If they were smart, they'd put it on DVD.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it is out on DVD, actually. It was great. It was so cool.
I don't know why Fuller House is getting a season two. The season one was basically nostalgia bait.
Oh, it was nostalgia overload. It was almost like a mockery of itself.
Yeah, that's what I heard about that. But, I mean, a lot of people did watch it, though. So, I guess that's the reason why it's getting a season two. A lot of people did watch it.
I'm not going to lie, I watched it.
I know, like all the girls at work were like, "So, how? Oh my God, Fuller House!" very, very happy about it. Like, so yeah, there was that one, and then what was the other one? Girl Meets World.
Girl Meets World. I like it, but it's a Disney show, Disney Channel show. But since it's Disney or Disney Channel based show, I'm letting it slide because
it's Disney. I mean,
it's basically that, and it's cute for what it is. It's cute, you know. Mr. Robot. I haven't seen Mr. Robot.
I've heard good things.
Jessica Jones is coming back. Let's see. I don't see Preacher, but I'm sure it's coming back.
It is, yeah. They did confirm it. But like I told you, it's probably not going to be until spring. It just ended.
Right. Star Wars Rebels is coming back on Disney XD. South Park is coming back. But what I've been hearing with South Park is that because of the games I might be doing so well, the creators are South Park, The Fractured Butthole, if that does very well, they might be leaving the aspect of the show and going straight to gaming because you could, in essence, have the player control the show and still have...
That would be interesting.
So, it all depends on that, but well, in essence, we'll see. Let's see.
Well, everybody's trying to get the new Pokemon Go since that app took off or whatever. Everybody's trying to be the new Pokemon.
What's the horror one that's coming out?
Which horror one?
Yeah, there's a Pokemon Go esque horror.
I've been hearing about that.
Yeah, isn't it like some kind of zombie hunter game or something?
Yeah, it's like Night Terrors or something like that.
Make you scared to go home. That's what it said.
Yeah, like, that's what I said. Yeah, I did hear something about that. It's supposed to be like an adult version of Pokemon Go. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Even though most of the people I know that play Pokemon Go are adults. So.
Oh my God! I almost got killed over Pokemon Go.
Oh, what? You got to explain that. You can't just leave us in the lurch with that.
So, well, without getting into a whole lot of detail, me and my son were just playing around with it one night. And a guy at work who plays it, a grown-ass man, told me, he said, oh, yeah, if you go over to the park here in Winchester, there's lots of Pokestops. You can get all kinds of stuff. I'm like, all right, fine. So we drive over there, and we're going through the park, and we're getting little Pokestops, and we're getting, like, you know, whatever, the little rewards and the balls and all that shit. And so
you sound like me describing the game.
Huh?
You sound like me describing the game.
Right. Yeah. So this truck starts following us. And I notice as I speed up, he speeds up. If I turn, he turns. I'm like, okay. And, you know, I'm no dummy. I'm being followed. So I go down the hill towards the bike track, and I kind of careen off the road at one point where I know I can get off and turn around. The guy goes by me, hits his brakes, like turns around, and then like looks at me. When he's going back by and gives me the old pistol shoot you look thing, I was like, what? So I go after him like an idiot. And he goes off the road into the bike track where it's like pitch black. I got my son with me. I'm like, okay, I can't do this because I'm not getting in a fight with my boy in the car. So I go up the hill, go into the parking lot, turn around, and park under like a light there in the parking lot. Mind you, it's like 10:30 at night, and I park under the light, and I watch him come up the hill, come up into the parking lot, and then squeal wheels, turn around, and go down into the park. But I don't know what their intentions were, but it wasn't good. And that was Pokemon Go, and that was the last time I played with it.
To get back on some of the brighter things, I'm not that you almost dying is important. I'm sure the missus would have been pissed.
Yeah, she would have been pissed, all right.
Yeah, she would have. If you died, she would have brought you back and killed you again. X-Files, word has it X-Files might be coming back, too, next year.
They can't leave us hanging.
Yeah, it's a matter of just, from what I've been hearing, a matter of getting everybody together to actually film it. Because the ratings were, I guess, so good earlier.
Yeah, I think they were only intending to bring it back for 1 year. But then it caught on real well.
Yeah. And so it's just a matter of just getting everybody back in and filming it. And it's just the red tape. Another thing that's coming, I probably about this time, depending on when it drops, I will be having utter nerd rage next year. Because more so than I did with probably the Ghostbusters, because what a lot of my friends know, I am a big Dark Tower fan. I'm a big Stephen King fan. And they were making a movie version of Dark Tower. And right now, the person playing Roland is Idris Elba, which is, for those who don't know the name, he was the Rainbow Road Guardian in Thor. So, that's taking up the screenplay and directing it is Nicolas Arcel. He wrote the screenplay for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and directed Royal Affair. So it'll be interesting. I want to wait before I nerd rage out for it because I want to see the trailer.
Well, Ghostbusters lost $70 million. You got your wish, okay?
if I'm not going to go my opinion. Everybody knows my opinion. See the last host, what we did.
It was not that bad of a movie. It really wasn't. I don't know.
I'm not going to go into it here, also I'll nerd rage again. So, I said my piece. When Zombie Buddy comes in and gives her review, I'm going to keep my ever-loving mouth shut.
Probably a good idea.
I'm kind of curious now. I'm gonna have to look up the episode where he went off on it.
It's for about like the last 15 minutes. It's just cringe city.
So it.
You can hear the hate. You can hear the hate seething through the phone. Let's put it that way.
So I got to check this out, man.
So. Let me put it like this. I wasn't the only one in that. I'll leave it at that. Not only did the new Rogue Squadron trailer drop, I got to see that. I've been hearing a lot of good things. A lot of people are stoked.
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's really good.
The Final Resurrection, Resident Evil trailer also dropped. Some people hate. I've seen it. I could see where some of the hate's coming from because, granted, it's only a trailer. It's not the finished movie yet.
Everybody, everything, always.
Well, that's true
too.
Some of the trailer looks like it's a sci-fi original, in reference to effects. That's what they're hating on. Some people are putting the disclaimer in reference to that because they're saying, well, because it's just a trailer, it's just a rough cut.
Do you understand how spoiled people are to be complaining about movies?
When
we were growing up, the movies that we watched on TV, the made-for-TV movies that we watched, and the series that we watched on TV, you better thank God or whatever you believe in that movies have come a long way, even the bad ones, to where they are today, to where they're halfway entertaining and you can actually sit down and watch them.
This is true.
Because... a lot of the garbage back in the day I mean, come on. Like, let's put it this way. If you would see the trailer for Resident Evil, the newest one, let's just say in 1994, you'd, like, want to, like, watch it 8,000 times and just, like, watch your eye until your eyeballs bled because you'd be like, oh, my God, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Speaking of bad movies, I wanted to touch on something real quick. They're actually making a documentary, since, you know, we're talking about like superheroes and things like that or whatever on this show. They're making a documentary about the 1994 Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie, which I'm very looking forward to because I love that movie. I don't care what you have to say. I always enjoyed that movie. Like, I mean, I even liked it better than the ones they've tried. Well, the one from 1994 surely blew away the last one they tried to make. So, I mean,
right.
They actually made a documentary about what went wrong with that movie. And there was a lot that went wrong with it. But, of course, and when you have Roger Corman and he only has $2 million, the movie actually wasn't that bad. I mean, he actually did very well with it for what he had to work with.
But then again, it's Roger Corman.
He's the king of the B-movie.
With Roger Corman, you watch his movies, you can't help but be that armchair quarterback. What? You pick up a freaking rolling pin, there's knives, like, right next door. What the hell?
Yeah, it's definitely.
Why would you pick up a rolling pin? There's a knife right there.
Yes, but they've done the knife thing a million times. You gotta have some sort of originality to this.
It got your attention, didn't it?
It got your attention. Right. You remember it. I mean, just like freaking, like I said, in the Fantastic Four movie, the guy that played Human Torch, I think, was like 14.
I even like the old Captain America movie, but yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, old Captain America. Yeah, actually, I think if that's the one I'm thinking of, I think he actually is up for convention. Somebody actually offered him to me, the original Captain America. What was his name? Reb Smith, or whatever his name was?
Something like that.
Yeah. That's awesome. If I bring him out,
Chris, you got to come out, okay?
If I bring him out.
we already have two tables up at Matt's winter show, so we'll be there hawking our stuff and promoting and
getting some Christmas money together for the kids.
Yeah. I'll probably be duct taping Big Candy to a chair and saying, "You stay here," and I'll be running around doing interviews all weekend.
We do have, I mean, speaking of the guy that played R2-D2, we do have Felix Sylla, who actually was, he was the hang gliding Ewok in Return of the Jedi. He was Cousin It in the original Addams Family, and he was Tweaky and Buck Rogers, and he played a lot of great, great roles.
I already have a few questions lined up for him.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I mean, but I tell you, for as old as that guy is, he's in really great shape. He's sharp as a tack still, which is great. I mean, that guy's almost 80 years old himself. So, with
the lineup, you have him, you have
John Morton, who played Dak Walter, and he played Boba Fett in a few scenes.
You have, what's her name? It was Jessie in the new Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, Michelle Knox. Jessie from Team Rocket, from the bad guys.
You have, what's her name, voice Jim in the hologram.
Samantha Newer.
These are people, yeah, I'm going to be gunning interviews for. Not to mention, the only time you probably want to escape from your chair, Big Candy, is King Kong Bundy?
Oh, yes, of course.
You'd be like, I want to talk to him too. No, you got a man at the table. No, I want to talk to him. Well, fine, you do the
interview. I want him in a cage.
I'll make sure you guys have a volunteer if both y'all would like to walk around, I guess.
But
they sell all your stuff for 50 cents. That's not my fault, okay? I'll be like, I don't know what happened to it, guys. You'll see it all on everybody else's tables. I don't know where that came from.
convention related, I know that Monster Mania for Hunt Valley, Maryland just updated their guest list yesterday.
That con is insane.
We're actually going to it both days, so.
I'll probably be up there too, at least for Saturday or one of the days as well, promoting for. That con is great. I mean, like, that's where I'd like to be in like 10 years. You know what I'm saying?
I think the guy's name is Dave Hagen.
Dave and Doug Hagen.
He does a bang up job. I'll say that right now. Yeah. He does a bang up job.
He does a great show. Joe Ripple from Scares and Carers does a great show. Yeah. Who else does great shows around here? There's Casey Bassett from Sci-Fi and the Valley Con in Altoona. That's a good little show up there. I mean, there's lots of really, really good shows in this area. I mean, you know, it's really great that this is, you know, come back around again. Even though, you know, it's got more of a the Comic Cons have kind of have definitely taken over where like a lot of the horror stuff used to be, but it's still, you know, it's still always a fun time.
But the thing is, what makes it great is that not so much with what you're doing, it's cons that are coming up, is that the fact that we are more of a connected world now.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
whereas 16 years ago, not so much 16 years ago, I'd say 20 years ago, it was the only way you could find out about a show like yours is, oh, I'm off work tonight. I'm going to watch maybe Xena tonight, and all of a sudden, you know, Four State RetroCon.
Yeah, I know. You have to buy like commercials on TV, or you just have to go around with a staple gun and go everywhere with, like, you know, with your flyers and everything. That's the only way people would be. I mean, because that was back when you actually literally had to go out of your house to find out about stuff.
And it was like rare.
You only found out about shows at other shows. You know what I mean? At other shows,
right?
If you actually knew about a show,
I mean,
and it. I'm sure there was like MegaCon and all that, and Baltimore Comic Con way back in the day. Just that you just
and they were a lot, but they were a lot smaller back in the day
and
too.
You didn't hear about them. Yeah. And all of a sudden, now that
here comes the internet, and bam!
With Facebook, MySpace, and all of a sudden you might be following, you know, the news through San Diego Comic Con, and all of a sudden Baltimore pops up or Monster Mania
and then you go to those shows and you see flyers for Four State Retro. And you see smaller shows.
The internet helps guys like you and guys.
It helps or it hurts.
Yeah.
Depends on the show. Depends on. I mean, like my buddy said, he used to help run Pittsburgh Comic Con back in the day, you know, back in the 2000s or whatever. And he actually helps with mine a little bit as well. And he said the same thing. He said the internet can either feed you or it can fuck you. Take your pick. I mean, it can either.
And one of the best things is. For someone like us, for the show, is speaking with guys like you and getting in touch with guys like you. And a buddy of mine down in Florida who ran it together later, basically what he said, it was done like this. He was like, all right, we're going to have these guests. And he told a buddy of his, and he kept promoting it throughout the year. And yet, don't tell them that it's an April Fool's joke. We're going to keep the joke rolling.
So it was on like April Fool's weekend.
And he was on. He didn't get the joke that was on April Fool's, and it was April Fool's. And he talked to a buddy of his that helps out with MegaCon and helps out with a lot of the bigger shows in Florida. And he said,
Spooky Empire.
It's like that. He knows the how to's, and he went up to him. It's like, out of curiosity, if I did this show in the area using this venue, these people, for these dates, how much roughly would it cost? Because he wasn't talking about, you know, having some of the smaller
stuff. He was talking about like big time, at the time,
Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair,
yeah.
The bigger name people. And he said, dude, that with that venue for that week,
probably $100,000.
Yeah, at minimum. It was like
$75,000 to $100,000.
Yeah, and he's like, you're looking about $75,000 to $100,000, and you're like, what? So yeah, you're talking about that kind of money.
Yeah,
and that's how it was. So. I mean,
I do my cons very, very cheaply.
but they're
entry level. You know what I mean? Right. You got to start somewhere. I mean, like some of these guys, like the guy you were just talking about, some of these guys will try to do a $75,000 con the first time they go out there, and you can't do it like that. I mean, like,
you have to
build a following. You can't just, you know,
you have to start somewhere.
Low. Yeah, you have to start low. You can't, you know, you have to start small and build. You can't, mm-hmm. you know. Like I said, you can't run a $75,000 because if that guy would have went through with that, if it wasn't just a prank,
right.
whatever it was you were just saying about or whatever, if you were, if he were to do that, he would have failed, and he would have failed miserably. Probably, he probably would be spending the rest of his life paying
trying. Yeah, But
if he, because I mean, yeah, well, you get that kind of money, you need to go to the bank and get a loan. You probably have to get a loan from somebody.
And the thing is, there's no guarantee. A lot there's, of banks will not say,
yeah, you're I going mean, $75,000, you better have some good credit,
right? Yeah, not so much good credit, you better have
collateral
and be making you
better be making good money.
You better have people coming to that right now, that's you know, a, just big time people coming to right now. And first time out,
it's hard because you don't know people, you don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? Because I've run before Four State Retro Pop and Comic Con. I ran two horror conventions, and Big Daddy was actually at the one, and so were you. You both were at Slasher Con or whatever. And that thing was a failure. You remember that?
I mean, yeah, it was decent, but it
failed miserably. I mean, we were me and my partner at the time. You know, we lost our butts on that thing. I mean, like, seriously, I mean, you know, I mean, hell, I think my former partner, you know, we're still, you know, we still keep in touch or whatever, but I think, he might still be paying people back or whatever, I mean, from that thing, because it's so, because we got so, it was just, because like I said, I mean, it's all about what you can do. You can't, and I mean, it's hard to do, like I said, if you want to do a convention, if the way I've learned is you got to keep it diverse and you got to book people from franchises that people know. Even if they're not the biggest characters, even if they're not your Norman Reeduses or your Andrew Lincolns or as I said, but I mean, if you can book, you know, solid people that people know from, you know, Walking Dead, there are people that collect all Walking Dead autographs.
Right.
That just want everybody from the show. They don't care how small they are, whether they were in 2 seconds or the whole show, they don't care.
The thing is, you can't really, for a lot of people, and I'm sure you can agree, you can't really reach for that brass ring right away.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Concentrate on getting the other rings first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to, just like in the Olympics, watching the Olympics right now, you got to get you got your bronze, you got your silver, you got your, I mean, gold. You can't get gold just by running one race most of the time, unless you're like crazy talent. I mean, Usain Bolt or Jackie Joyner Kersee or something like that. Unless you're super talented, you're not going to win gold your first race. So
right,
you got to crawl before you can walk.
That's one of the reasons why. Again, you were here when we first started out today, with the podcast communities and talking with people that been around.
Right.
You got to have people that you could sit down and you might know what I'm doing.
And I've consulted with Joe Ripple and like guys like, you know, Dave Madison, who ran Mr. Hush Weekend of Fear and did the movie Mr. Hush, which was fairly successful. I mean, for just a little cult horror movie that he made, you know, himself, just as like, started out as just a fanboy film. Then next thing you know, here comes Stephen Jeffries from Fright Night and Dante from Clerks and all these other guys that he met and knows personally. And next thing you know, bada bing, he's got distribution and he's in Walmart and FYE, Netflix, everything. If you guys want to check out, it's a fun little horror movie called Mr. Hush. Reminds you a lot of the old Fright Night. It's definitely
like I said, being on the podcasting channel, it's just a bunch of guys like, I want to say like yourself, just, you know, equivalent to yourself, saying that if I come, it's like, yeah, I got my first table. I did this on one of the podcast community page. Yeah, I got my first tables at a show. And the first person, again, these are guys that are doing this for years.
And they've set up a comic and pop culture show.
Or equivalent and so forth and so on. They were like, is it going to be geared to your demographic? Yes.
Yes.
And it's pretty much them coming around, patting you on the back, like, good job.
That's the only way you're going to get your name out there.
Right.
And I mean, you know, I mean, I hope that, you know, in these last few shows that your name has gotten bigger since you started shows or whatever. I mean, especially when you have special interest guests on there.
And the thing is, these are the type of guys that, you know, it's like, all right, what's your show link? You know, I want to hear it. And they'll give feedback like, okay, this is, you know, it's noticeable. It's not irritating, but it's, you know,
but you definitely could work on it.
Yeah. And you have obviously you have some of the people that are, you're using what? You could do that on the program. Well, I don't have $500 for, you know,
that program.
For that program. And that happened on a recent post that somebody put it up. It's like, I use a mixer because it helps with portability. Yeah. I don't know what location I'm going to be in from 1 month to the next.
Yeah. I mean, you could be here, you could be somewhere else. You could be.
So, and the person said, oh, you don't need a mixer. You don't need a mixer. You could do it all with software. I'm like, wait a minute. There's a lot of audio people that are out there that say, use a mixer. You know.
I mean, your show always sounds good to me. So, I mean,
it's,
I,
They say, yeah, you can use software, but even the big guys, they use professional mixers. They use a combination thereof. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, it's like split, but this guy, I mean, a lot of the threads was, you know, taken down. And he said, oh, if you're only doing a lot, I'm like, wait a minute. Live show. Hold on, let me check my pulse here. Yeah, I'm doing a live show. So I'm going to need a mixer. And it helps me learn. What a lot of people don't realize, having a mixer helps you learn what the software can do a little bit and so forth and so on.
I believe it, yeah.
It's technique, and it's, again...
It's experience.
It's experience.
Yeah, it's experience. Yeah, that's the bottom line. You got to have the experience. And, I mean, I still make mistakes at shows. I still do, you know, I mean, it's all about learning and experience, and you got to be willing to learn, and you got to be willing to take criticism.
That again, that's why I'm on these forums, to, like, they'll pop up, like, okay, what equipment are you using? I mentioned the mics, and I bought, good choice. And they're like, I think one person said,
just like when I pick a guest, oh man, that's great, I can't wait to meet them, or whatever.
And the fact is, like, Did you choose that equipment, or was it recommended? Oh, it seemed like a good buy on Amazon. Oh, good job, you know. But that sort of deal, and, you know, following tips. And
like, of course, there's always some people that, like, some of the naysayers you just can't please no matter what. I always enjoy these. They're always the ones that are like, hey, you should book Norman Reedus. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to come to a skating rink in a small town. Kind of. Yeah, it's like you got to, you know, I mean, you know, you got to be realistic about this guy.
Not to mention,
but they don't understand that. That's the thing. I mean, they don't understand.
As much as Norman would be a big draw, it's like,
he'd be too big for the building. Like, seriously, you would not be able. I mean, you wouldn't be able to have anything else on there, because his line would be stretched all the way out to the freaking road, bro.
I'm not knocking him, probably, for someone like yourself. His price range might be
I mean, and then people are going to be complaining. Why is he $75 to $100 an autograph? You know,
actually, he's closer to 50.
Yeah, I was going to say, but still, though, I mean, now for a smaller show, he might up the price just so he can make his guarantee. I mean, just so he can make his guarantee or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes for smaller, I mean, sometimes people will gauge their prices by the size of the show, or sometimes the show even picks their price. Now, I don't do that. I mean, I'm not big enough for that yet, in my opinion. I let people charge what they charge. I mean, that's what they're comfortable charging. That's what I'll let them charge or whatever.
But for...
I mean, if they're too expensive, guess what? They're just not going to sell anything. That's not my fault. So.
I think I know why he was cut off. He's probably... we only had about a two-hour limit from here, so that's why I think he was cut off. I'll finish off with you. I know it sounds wrong and everything else. I could finish off with you, and I could just
edit everything. Yeah, you could just edit everything and just switch some stuff around or whatever. I got you.
And I just tack it on the end. It might not sound right in post, but it'll do. It's show content. I'm a smaller show. I'm not a professional.
Yeah, you're not Opie and Anthony.
Howard
Stern.
Or Joe Rogan or someone.
Yeah,
somebody like that.
Yeah, you're not.
I'm not big.
I mean, no offense, you're not even the comic book men yet.
Guys
from Kevin Smith's show or whatever.
So
that's coming back for a second season, by the way.
Third or fourth season.
And now Kevin Smith also has that show, what is it, Geeked Out or whatever
Something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I've watched the first couple episodes of it.
I'll tie this in with that and everything else, and I think we had a good with that particular what we had with Big Candy and everything else, and with you, that was over. We have about an hour and change broadcast. I'll just tie everything together. It's going to be a pain in the ass when I get home, if not tomorrow night or later tonight after the. For those who don't know, I live in the Martinsburg area, and tonight is bike night. And I might be going there. I might snag an interview or two, depending on who's there. But I'm not going to like it. But probably when I get back in, I'll sew everything together. Because the Skype call, it might not be the best after we tie everything together. But it'll have to do. I'd like to thank Matt Burns for being our special guest today. When's the winner... Pop Culture Show going to be?
Oh, it's going to be December 3rd and 4th, Saturday and Sunday, at Cosmic Skate and Play in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania.
And where can we find information about this
You can find it on Facebook and Instagram, Four State Retro Pop Con, all spelled out, all in words, no spaces, no dashes, Four State Retro Pop Con on Facebook and Instagram. And then our website is fourstatecon.com. Again, all spelled out, no spaces or dashes.
All right.
Fourstatecon.com.
And again, we'll be at that show, probably interviewing our brains out. If you, again, as the things get closer, we'll let you guys know. Some of the more guests that are Matt's going to be releasing as soon as he releases.
They're all on the table.
Again, we'll next month we'll be pushing the guests and letting you know as more information as per the show releases, meaning panels and so forth and so on. As soon as we know from Matt, it's official from Matt, we'll let you guys know. That way we don't jump the gun.
Panels should be wrapped up either this week or the next. I get them all together. I mean, they're all pretty much done. I just got to cement them.
Yeah. Because we don't want to jump the gun with what you're doing. So once we know, we'll let you, the audience, know. Stay tuned. We'll probably have more different guests come on. Thanks to groups like the podcast community and Podcast Discovery Center. With them, we'll have a lot of interesting guests, and we'll probably be on their shows as well as they'll be on ours. We'll see what happens over the next couple of months, weeks. Who knows? So until then, you could always find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and our website, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. You can find all the shows there because both Google Play and iTunes only lists about 20. You could find us on Twitter at Long Coat Mafia. You could find us on Instagram at Long Coat Mafia. You could also email us if you disagree with anything we say. You could also email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com if you have thoughts about the show or whatever. We will read your email on air. If we get a lot, I'll do a solo show with nothing but your email. If there are questions geared to either our co-hosts or a guest, we'll get in touch with them and read their response on air. So feel free to email us, contact us, and we're on Facebook as well. As just give us a look-see for the Long Coat Mafia podcast, and thank you very much. We are out.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic.
The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.